1 Kings 17, I have been assigned to speak to you about Elijah this month, and my message is entitled, May I Introduce to You Elijah the Tishbite of the Sojourners of Gilead. So let me read to you this 17th chapter of 1 Kings. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the sojourners of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord, the God of Israel, liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt... So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in the jar, and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it forth unto me, and afterward make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, The jar of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. The jar of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And he said unto Elijah, She said, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to bring my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the chamber where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this widow, with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all of these obscure things in the history of Israel that have been made of great importance because you have seen fit to record them in thy word. And we desire to learn, especially from what we've read this day. So by thy Spirit, our God, empower, and let the words be not in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, and bless us for good. Thou knowest our sins, forgive and cleanse, and prepare the hearts of all who speak, and empower him who speaks, and bless those that listen. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. There are some people that you meet and they're soon forgotten. Others you see one time and you never forget them. Elijah was such a man. All you had to do was see him once and you could never forget him. Now, suppose I told you, and Jesus was the same way. That's wrong. There was nothing impressive about Jesus that made men recognize him when they first saw him. In fact, when our Savior was speaking to Nathanael, and he said, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. He said, How do you know me? But then when the Lord Jesus spoke to him, then he recognized who he was. So understand this, that John the Baptist said concerning the Lord Jesus, There standeth one in the midst of you whom you know not. And God made his son so unpretentious that he could walk among men, and no one would say, There is the Son of God. They did not recognize him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as soon as he spoke or worked, immediately they knew. When the Lord Jesus spoke to Nathanael and said, Before I saw thee, when you were under the fig tree, I saw thee. He said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And Simon Peter, when he was fishing, and the Lord said, Put out for a draught into the deep. And he said, Lord, I will do it, but we toiled all night, nevertheless at thy word. And when he did, when he performed that work, Peter was amazed, and he said, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. After that, once they saw him and heard him speak, then they would say, Never man spake like that man. But he was not immediately recognizable as was Elijah. Now, I could tell you as many things I do not know about Elijah as I do know. If you said to me, Who was the father of Isaiah the prophet? I would say, Amos. Who was the father of Ezekiel? Buzzy. Who was the father of Jeremiah? Hilkiah of the priests. Who was the father of Elijah? Now somebody here tell me. If so, you've received a revelation from God, because the Bible doesn't tell us. It neither tells us who his father was, who his mother was. Now listen, I'm going to tell you the way he's introduced in the Bible. Elijah the Tishbite of the sojourners of Gilead. Now tell me where the town is found that he was born in. You say, well, the authorities say Tishbe, and not one of them can tell you where it is. But I can put you in the location close enough. Gilead is on the east side of the Jordan, where the tribes Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh dwelt. And so somewhere in that rocky, wild terrain, this is where Elijah was brought up. Now, the Bible tells us about some prophets that they were young, the young man. And the Bible tells us about some prophets, he was an old prophet. Tell me how old Elijah was. You have no idea how old he was. Tell me, was he married? Ezekiel was married. We would know nothing about it, but God said, I'm taking away the one that you love. But we do not know if Ezekiel were married. And we know about Amos, that he was one that took care of sycamore trees, took care of animals. We know that. But you know nothing about Elijah. And what happens is that he immediately appears upon the scene, and then just as quickly he disappears from the sight of Israel for 3.5 years. And so I've told you a few things that I do not know about Elijah. Let me tell you a few things that I do know about him. I can tell you every reference to him in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And I will just speak them quickly now as God enables, and you can get them off the tape if you're trying to copy them down. The first is 1 Kings 17, 18, 19, 21. 2 Kings 1 and 2. And then you have his prophecies fulfilled in 2 Kings 9 and 10. And you have one reference to him preaching to the southern tribes in 2 Chronicles 21. That's all we are told about Elijah in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, and understand this, when I give you a reference telling it refers to Elijah, if it occurs in 3 Gospels, then I'm just telling you one of the Gospels. And so you find about Elijah in Matthew 11, in chapter 16, in chapter 17, in chapter 27. You find about him in Mark 6. You find about him in Luke 1, Luke 4, and in our King James Bibles, Luke 9. You find about him also in John 1, Romans 11, and James chapter 5. And to my knowledge, these are all the references in the Old and New Testament that tell us about Elijah. Now, in the Old Testament, I left out Malachi because he is found there in addition to the references in Kings and Chronicles, and it's most important there because it tells about him and one like unto himself. And our Lord Jesus verifies this in the New Testament. In chapter 3, it speaks about one that is sent forth who shall prepare the way of the Lord. And this is in Isaiah 40. Elijah's counterpart, John the Baptist, tells us that was fulfilled in him. But the Lord Jesus said, this is he. And he tells us that Malachi 3 refers to John the Baptist. And then our Savior tells us that Malachi 4 applies to Elijah the Tishbite. And this prophet is different from any other prophet inasmuch as his work on earth was not completed when he left this world and went into the next. But God said, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet. And it tells us what he's going to do. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I smite the earth with a curse. Now, this is most important. We see the mission of Elijah the prophet summed up in what he says about himself and the way God describes him. It says, Elijah the Tishbite. Elijah means, and the word Jehovah or Yahweh is the word in the King James, it's translated Lord. And Elijah means, my God is Jehovah or Yahweh. And in the will of God, next week in chapter 18, this is the mission of Elijah, to show them that Jehovah is the God of Israel, not Baal, not all the false gods, but Elijah's name means my God is Jehovah. And so think, his very name gives us his mission, his entire mission to the nation of Israel, because that is his purpose in chapter 18, to convince Israel that the prophets of Baal are false, but that Yahweh, he is God. And so that's his name. He said, my name is Elijah. My God is Jehovah. Now, this is something else that's most important, and it tells us about him. Something that's probably not true of you and of me. When he is speaking his prophecies, he speaks about before the Lord in whose presence I stand. What would that mean? It means this, that he is a prophet of God. And just as angels surround the throne of God, and God speaks, and they go here and there and do his will, he said, I am Elijah, and I stand before God. He is saying this concerning himself. I am God's servant, and I stand ready to do what he wills. There are some, like Jonah, who do not stand in the presence of God. God has to go and deliver them out of the belly of the whale, and then they can do his will. But Elijah said, I am he who stands in the presence of God. Now let me ask you this. Is that in any way a description of you? If God told you to do something this morning, could you immediately go from his presence? You can hear his word and you do his will. I'm afraid that what happens is that God would have to deal with us, get rid of the sins, and then speak to us as he did to Jonah. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and then perhaps we may do his will. But Elijah could say this concerning himself, I stand in the presence of God. And that should be the attitude of every child of God. Having been saved by his grace, we are to be in his presence for service, because that's the only reason you're left down here. Don't you understand that? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. And Elijah knew that he was God's, and he stood in his presence, and he would say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And this is what you find, that before Elijah told God's will, God told him his will. And then Elijah would tell Israel what that will was, and then he would go and pray that God's will would come to pass. Isn't that a remarkable thing? Now, what is of great interest concerning Elijah and his prayers is this. Two things that we are told in the book of James. One of them we could have surmised had we read his entire life and digested it correctly, but one of them we never knew. We are told in 1 Kings 17 that there shall not be dew nor rain all these years, but according to my word. And so he prayed, and there was no rain for 3 years. I said, he prayed. How do I know that? Because James tells us that he prayed not once, but twice. First of all, he prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. And then it says, again he prayed, and the heaven gave forth rain. And so this is what we find about Elijah in the New Testament, that he prayed before the rain, that it would not rain. And then after 3.5 years, he prayed again, and it did rain. And one other thing that we could have surmised is this. It says, Elijah was a man of like passions with us. Now that's a remarkable thing. There are some, and you look at them, and it is evident that they are sinners saved by grace, just as you and I. You wouldn't know it, except Peter sins against God. And then Peter knows that he's a man of like passions. You'll find that concerning Elijah and his character, you learn about him by what he does and what he fails to do. You can learn about him by his character, by his disposition, by his dress, by his speech, by his appearance. Now let me tell you why you would know Elijah immediately when you saw him, and you would never forget him. It said he was a man of hair. He was a hairy man. His head, his beard, his face. And it said that he wore a mantle, and this mantle was girded or belted with a leather belt. And some soldiers were going to ask a question of the prophets of Baal, and Elijah met them and gave them the mind of God. And then they went back and told the king, and he said, "What manner of man was he that told you these things?" They said, "He was a hairy man, and he wore a mantle girded about with a leather girdle." He said, "It's Elijah, the prophet." He knew immediately who he was. And he was one whom, if you saw one time, you could never forget him. This brings something to mind, and it happened 55 years ago. I was with a dear friend, and we were at the ocean, and we were in a house like you do. You get bed and breakfast, but we just got the bed. And I can remember having seen this man one time. He was an old man, and his hair was white, and it was all over his head, down to his eyes. It covered his mouth. It came down to his chest. And I remember saying this. I went up to him and said, "Do you have a mouth?" And this is what he did. He went, and I said, "Yes, you do." And I can remember that man to this day. And in like manner, had I ever seen Elijah the Tishbite, I could never have forgotten him. Think now. He has been, and some of them tell us, he's by this brook Kirith for a year or more. And he's there, and his hair is growing, and his beard is growing. And he may have been a hairy man like Esau. Esau was red and hairy all over. So hairy that when his brother Jacob was going to deceive his father, he went and got animal skins and put them on his hands. And it says that Elijah was a hairy man. And so you look at him and you see this wild-looking creature. You see one whose clothing is different. His appearance is disreputable. And think now, if he's in the wilderness for all this time and he never cuts his hair or shaves or does anything to his appearance, and he has only one suit of clothes, and that is what he is wearing, and he has a mantle, and he has it girt about him with a leathern girdle. Now, what is so interesting is that he set the fashion. He wore a hairy garment, and he was girded about with a leather girdle. And you'll find that in Zechariah, when one was pretending to be a prophet, he would dress up the way that Elijah dressed. And in the New Testament, if I ask you, how did John the Baptist dress? You say he wore a camel's hair garment, and he was girt about with a leathern girdle, and he was in the wilderness, and he ate wild locusts and honey. Isn't that remarkable? Do you see how the Lord Jesus said, one is counterpart of the other? And so if you saw John the Baptist and listened to him, you could never forget him. And if you saw Elijah the Tishbite one time, you could never forget him. You could learn about him also from his speech. Most of the time, his speech is severe and threatening. But when it comes to the death and care of this widow's son, his speech is very tender. And he goes and he speaks to God in a way that's so different when he speaks to God about the false prophets of Baal. But you can tell something about his language and also the way he prays. He prayed, as we shall see in the will of God next week, like God presented himself to him. There was fire and wind and earthquake. It said God wasn't in that. And then God spoke in a still, small voice. And when Elijah prays, he speaks to God in a still, small voice with much assurance, and God mightily answers that prayer. And so the way he prayed, the way he dressed, the way he spoke, and also this is why I could gather that he was a man of like passions. He had an overly grand estimate of himself. When God said to him on an occasion, Elijah, what are you doing here? He said, Lord, he said, I've been very jealous for you. And he said, the children of Israel have thrown down thine altars. They've abandoned your law, your truth, he said, and they have killed the prophets, and I am left alone, and they seek my life to take it. Now, isn't that wonderful? You see, there's not another preacher in the world except me, and they're trying to eliminate me. What would you say concerning me? One time I jokingly told you about how good I was, and some of you took it seriously, how good-looking I was. Well, this man, Elijah, is thinking of himself in that way. But finally, he has to learn about himself, and he requests for himself that he might die, and he says, Oh Lord, take my life away. I am no better than my fathers. And that is a good lesson for you to learn as well. To stand in the presence of God, yes, but at the same time, to learn that you're a sinner saved by grace. And never do as Peter did. When the Lord said, you're going to deny me three times, Peter said, I will never deny you. I will die before I deny you. And before the night was over, he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is Elijah, and he is a man of like passions because he's characterized by courage and then by cowardice. Both of them are in the man. If I look at Peter, I look at him and smile, I say I have to make apologies for Peter. But if I look at the Apostle Paul, I do not have to make apologies to him. Because this is what Paul said, and Paul was one who stood in the presence of God. He said, herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and men. And he added this. He said, I count not my life of any account as dear unto myself, that I may do the will of God and finish the mission that he's given me on earth to complete. If you could have a purpose in life to do that, your life is not your own. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and you count not your life of any account as dear unto yourself, to do the will of God and to finish the work on earth that he's given you. And this is what Paul could say. And that is why I look at Peter and I say, he's a man of like passions. But I look at the Apostle Paul, and you would have to be very, very severe to say, well, he's just a sinner like the rest of us. He said, I'm the chiefest of the apostles, and that's what God inspired him to say. So here is Elijah, and all of these things we learn about him. And this is what he discovers when he gives a prophecy for God, that he himself is included in the consequences of that prophecy that he gives. When he says, there shall neither be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word, then that means that all the Israelites shall have no rain. There shall be famine, the crops shall fail. No, it's going to affect Elijah as well. And this is what he finds out that is so humorous. That once he makes known the will of God to the king and the king to Israel, then God makes known his will for him. He says, now that you've told them that, Elijah, I want you to go into the wilderness by the brook Kereth. And I want you to stay there as long as I tell you to stay there. And he said, I've commanded the ravens to feed you, and you can drink water from the brook. Now think of this. Here you've done the will of God, and this is your reward. You go into isolation, into the wilderness, and there's nothing to eat. But God says, I have commanded the ravens to feed you, and you can drink of that brook. Think now, how would you like for a whole year to have bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and the only thing you had to drink was water from a brook? And that's all he had. And God said, that is the way I want you to live. And at the same time, I'm wondering about this. I'm wondering when God told him the first time, he's waiting there at the brook, and he looks off in the distance, and sure enough, here come the ravens, and they're bringing him bread and flesh. Where did they get that bread? Why, there is famine in the land eventually. And concerning flesh, is it flesh that's been cooked or prepared, or is it just flesh like a bird of prey could capture and bring to him? And he had to cook it in the morning and in the evening. But this was his diet, and this was his routine for a whole year. And the reason he was there is that God said, I want you to hide yourself. He said, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee. Now, what people do today, and it's so funny, here is a man that's out in the service of the Lord, and they say to him, take courage, brother. God can send the ravens to feed you. Now, how many of you have recently been fed by ravens? None of you have. God did it miraculously, but he's never fed me by ravens. Through his dear children, he has provided my needs. But he's never rained down manna from heaven as he did for Israel. And he's never fed me by ravens. But he did Elijah. And notice, God said, I have commanded the ravens to feed you. This is the power of God over his animal creation. When Jonah was in the belly of the whale, it says God spoke to that whale and it vomited Jonah up. And God said to the ravens in the morning, go find some flesh, and you go find some bread and take it to Elijah, the Tishbite. He's in the wilderness. And so this is a miracle in itself. But God commanded those ravens to feed him. Now, here is something else about the command of God. When the brook dried up, nothing to drink, then God said, I want you to go to Zarephath, and there is a widow, and I've commanded that widow to feed you. Think now, since God gave the command, you would expect her response when Elijah said, give me some water and bring me a little piece of bread. You would expect her to say, God commanded me to do this, and therefore I'm going to give you some bread first. Notice, God had commanded her. It means that he had so worked in her soul that when that request was made, that she would fulfill that request. And that is the way that God works. He commands the blessing, it says, but then it seems so natural. At first, the woman objects. She says, I'm going to make a little cake, and I'm going to eat it, and my son is going to eat it, and then we're going to die. But Elijah said, you make me a cake first. And any ordinary woman would say, you're out of your mind. My child and myself come before you. But she said, yes. And when she did, how great was the reward that God gave to her. But now think, since he was by the brook and God had commanded the ravens to feed him, that was bad enough. But now, now he is commanding a widow woman whose store is so small that she has a little cruse of oil and a handful of meal. And that's the woman you're sending me to take care of me. She can't take care of herself. But God says, I've sent you to her. And so what does it mean? It means that when God sent him into the wilderness by the brook, that there was this monotony of bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and water to drink from the brook. Loneliness, no companionship. How do I know? Because finally, when he speaks to another man that reverences the God of Israel, he says concerning the king, there is no nation or kingdom that Ahab hasn't sent to find you. And he wasn't able to find him. And so this is this loneliness, this seclusion in the wilderness. And so finally, after over a year, finally Elijah says, well, now I'm going to have good companionship. And sends him to a widow woman that's at the point of starvation. And he says, now you stay with her. But he did the same for his son. Would you not think that the Son of God deserves something better than working as a carpenter in Nazareth, having those in his synagogue who would kill him the first time he spoke about Elijah and Elisha? But God said, son, I want you to stay there 30 years. And so the will of God is a strange thing. And so if he wants us in obscurity among people of unimportance, if he wants us in the wilderness by ourselves, or if he wants us to go to a poor widow woman, let the will of God be done. So this is a little introduction to Elijah the Tishbite. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the prophets, the voices of God that you raise up, and we are thankful for the way that you say it. God said through his prophet Elijah. So let us remember that as thy servants, guided by thy Spirit, speak, it is their voice, but it is thy will and mind that are being made known. So let us remember that, our God, and let us remember that if you could do great things with Elijah, and he was a man of like passions, you can do things with us in spite of our failures. But let us be one who stands in the presence of God with an open ear and a ready heart of obedience. And let us be like Elijah. If you send us to the wilderness or you send us to a poor widow woman, help us to learn from his life. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.